This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It ain't over until the airline sings.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It could be song blue for Delta's discount airline. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning the company may get rid of two-year-old Song. It's not a done deal, but Delta's looking at every possibility for restructuring in bankruptcy. Song appeared to be a total failure at first, but some of its quirks became popular. Satellite TV, laid-back flight attendants, fewer fare levels. Delta may try to incorporate some of Song's strategies into its primary airline. But how dirty are the skies we're flying into? A new EPA study backed by the White House does a cost-benefit analysis of the president's Clear Skies legislation versus the status quo. And according to Clear Skies opponents, the White House doesn't come out on top. Sam Eaton reports.
President Bush's Clear Skies bill has been sidelined since March over concerns that it weakens existing air pollution laws. Proponents claim Clear Skies' market-based approach to cutting power plant emissions would reduce the costs passed on to consumers while achieving greater overall pollution controls. Lawmakers requested a comparative study so they could sort out the details themselves on an apples-to-apples basis. But according to the Sierra Club's Nat Mund, the study that resulted probably wasn't what the White House was hoping for.
Overall, this shows that the Clear Skies proposal actually gets less pollution reductions than we would get simply by applying the law that we have right now, and that it might cost more to boot.
And it's changing few minds in the Senate's Environment and Public Works Committee, which means the political logjam over this legislation is unlikely to clear up anytime soon. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
When it comes to mutual funds, more Americans are putting money into foreign shares instead of domestic ones. But as Ashley Milntite tells us, that doesn't mean people are losing confidence in the U.S. stock market.
September wasn't a great month for the U.S. economy, with gas prices shooting up and general uncertainty brought on by two monster hurricanes. Avi Nachmani of mutual fund research firm Strategic Insight says that's partly why Americans shied away from domestic mutual funds last month and invested more in foreign markets. He says this is the continuation of a trend, and globalization has a lot to do with it.
At this point, there's a much greater acceptance and greater interest to be a participant in wealth creation around the world, not just in America, through American registered firms.
This year, he says, Americans are pouring a record $130 billion into international funds. That said, they still have more than 80% of their savings invested right here in America. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The paychecks are getting fatter in the corner office. CEO salaries were up 30% in 2004. A corporate governance research group crunched the numbers. The average big corporate CEO made $5.7 million last year. For companies on the S&P 500, it was close to $12 million. The highest paycheck, Yahoo CEO, who took home over $230 million, mostly through stock options. Bankruptcy rumors about GM brought down the blue chips. The Dow fell 115 points to 10,229. The S&P 500 dropped 12 to end at 1178. The Nasdaq slid 36 points to 2063. This is Marketplace.
There are three things I have learned never to discuss with people: religion, politics, and the great pumpkin.
Except, Linus, when it's time for the job files.
My name is John Muller, and I'm a pumpkin grower here in Half Moon Bay. Orange jack-o'-lanterns are very, very popular, without a doubt. But we search the world over for seeds, so we grow about 40-plus varieties. The first bunch up there is called Quintali, and we get that seed from Italy, and it's kind of terracotta. And then the peachy colored ones are called Halloween in Paris, and they're really kind of beautiful. The giant pumpkin really is grown for the aesthetics only. We don't eat these giant pumpkins, but it's always fun just to grow them for people to enjoy. Little kids sit on them.
Enjoy them, huh?
You say thank you?
Good seeing you. And pumpkins are like people. They come in all different sizes, shapes, and colors. So that's what's fun about the pumpkin business.
This is Marketplace from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org, by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, mellon.com, and by Reuters, reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. This week, Marketplace takes Manhattan, where the average one-bedroom apartment now goes for $1 million. But for some folks on the Upper West Side, that's lunch money. Our New York Bureau Chief Bob Moon tells us about the super rich over on Park Avenue.
Some New Yorkers don't have a clue about the incredible wealth that still defines the Big Apple, especially here at Park Avenue and 71st Street.
How much would you think that apartments go for?
Maybe $3,000 or $4,000 for months.
The view that delivery man has from down here is clearly not the view occupants of 740 Park Avenue have from up there.
We're talking apartments with 13-foot ceilings, public rooms that are larger than most people's whole homes.
Writer Michael Gross calls it the world's richest apartment building in his new book, 740 Park. This is the place John D. Rockefeller called home and Jackie Bouvier Kennedy Onassis grew up. These co-ops go for $20 to $30 million, Gross says, with monthly maintenance fees as high as $6,000.
The foyers are the size of bedrooms. These are the greatest apartments in the world.
Gross says there are blocks of grand apartment buildings here on New York's Upper East Side that represent the greatest concentration of wealth in the world. Broadway for capitalists, he calls it, and the leading theater on this great golden way is 740 Park. It belies the argument New York is no longer a place you have to be.
You can sit in Timbuktu with a fast computer and get your business done, but you can't be at the New York City Ballet, and you're not donating to the Metropolitan Museum and having your birthday parties there. The fact of the matter is, physical presence is very important.
Consider, he says, those rejected at 740 Park. Barbara Streisand, Barbara Walters, years ago Joan Crawford. Names of status, yes, but not the right sort.
What they don't want is the sort of cachet that would attract the wrong kind of attention. They want us all right here where we're standing, across the street, not looking up at them thinking, I just read about her latest love affair in The Star.
Don't mistake that, Gross says, for shunning attention.
It's like a trophy wife. It's like a Rolls Royce or a Maybach. Owning an apartment at 740 Park Avenue says that you've arrived. The big question is, once you've arrived, where are you?
Len Malkin, who used to be a financial exec, lives around the corner. So I asked him, what is it about this neighborhood?
Within a few blocks, there's so many 24-hour things, little Korean grocers and the diner at 75th and Lexington is 24 hours. It's just nice.
Those people up there go to the diner up on 75th.
Yeah, that's how they amassed all that wealth. It's by being cheap and not spending money, you know?
Now, how close are you to moving on up over here?
Not. I'm retired. I could have been a contender. Now look at me.
And there are those who probably won't ever be a contender for this kind of luxury.
What if I told you that apartments over there go for about $20 to $30 million?
Wow, it's a lot of money.
In addition to this concentration of wealth, remember, too, the Census Bureau puts 1 in 5 New Yorkers below the poverty line. In New York, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Check out all of our New York coverage this week on the web at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Every day.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.